Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. I thank you for joining me, and we're going to continue on in a message I've been sharing the last few days on the living creatures. And these are, in description, somewhat strange beings. And we read the first, I think it was 13, 14th verses of chapter 1 in Ezekiel. He was with the Israelites. They had been, Jerusalem had been sacked. The king and he and the Israelites were there in fulfilling the word of the prophet Jeremiah, 70 years in captivity before they'd be returned to Jerusalem in the land of Israel. And he had a vision, and he saw living creatures. And there's a parallel. There are connections, if you will, or representations that these living creatures bear a similarity into what they represent, which is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. By way of quick review, it says they came out of the midst of a whirlwind, a great cloud and fire. And of course, we know the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. It said there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire sat upon their head. This power that was represented suggests not only the work that Jesus Christ did for us, but it showed that the church was being birthed in that power of God. The mystery of godliness was being revealed, and they were, as believers, they were delivered from the judgment of sin. And so on the day of Pentecost, that's when the church was officially born, if you will. And we know that there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. So there's a similarity in origin. The seraphim are always connected with the very presence of God. And also in their character, it says they're living. Ezekiel uses that word a lot. They're living. That's their primary, a prominent characteristic. And their life is represented as closely associated before the throne of God with the source of all life, the living God. We, beloved, have been redeemed out of darkness, birthed into God's kingdom as His children. We have gone from death to life. We are the living ones whose life has been made akin to God's. Why? Because He has enabled us to be partakers of His divine nature and heirs of eternal life. Praise God. And then in their appearance, this is really fascinating, because the four creatures had four faces. And of course, in general form, they were in the likeness of a man. They had four wings and four faces. And we, the church, members of Christ's body, are created after the image of Jesus, created in righteousness and true holiness. And so let's look, just by way of quick review, the face of a man, it represents intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, and reverence and worship. The face of a lion, the strongest, most powerful of beasts, the king of the beasts, if you will, represents courage and strength, which we're to have for the spiritual warfare that we encounter and the battles we go through. The face of an ox refers to, and of course these are all representative of Jesus, but we are made in His image and likeness, if you will. Man was. That represents humility, patience, endurance, and perseverance in service. And the face of an eagle, the most magnificent of birds, which can rise above the things of the earth. It represents clear vision. They have said that an eagle can see prey a mile off, if that seems impossible, but they have tremendously clear eyesight. And also it represents heavenly power in testimony. So we We've been looking at these characteristics. We've looked at their origin, their character, their appearance, and now we want to look at their movements. In verse 12, it says, "They went, every one, straight forward. Whither the Spirit of God went, they went." And doesn't this express a principle of being led by the Spirit? Remember, Jesus said, "I don't do anything but what my Father shows me." And this method of action or movement, if you will, proves that they were of one mind and dominated by one great purpose. Think of that. Obviously, they had to have that kind of unity to be able to proceed in a any kind of movement, rather than to have some sort of internal conflict. I'm not going to go there. No, of course. And it represents the body of Christ, that when we allow Jesus to be our head, as we are members of his body, just like the head of our natural body with the brain, it controls the various functions. We're, as David says, so fearfully and wonderfully made. There's the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic, that which monitors the function of the various organs of the body, aside from the actual nerves, that when we think we can move our hand, move our arm, move our legs, and just be able to live the kind of lives that God intended. So their method of action, they always went together to prove they were of one mind, dominated by one great Spirit. And doesn't that make us recall Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And how powerfully this demonstrates to us that the church of the living God must go straight forward. We can't turn to the right or the left, right? We must keep our eyes fixed upon the heavenly goal, upon doing our Father's will, just as Jesus did. He said, "My meat is to do the will of the one who sent me." And this, of course, was one of the burdens in Christ's great high priestly prayer in John the 17th chapter. And then now let's take a moment to look at their influence. In verse 13, it says, "Their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like lamps. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning." And Psalm 104 and 4 says, "Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flaming fire." Remember in Acts, the second chapter, verse 3, it was recorded in that scripture that the early church was endued with power from on high, appeared unto them on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues like as of fire. And we're to be like burning lamps, burning coals. They had the appearance of lightning, not only bright, but self-assertive. They're not going to be hid, praise God. And what did Jesus say about his church? In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 14, he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're to be filled with the Spirit, and the coals of thought will burn, and the lamp of life will shine, and the lightning of conviction and revelation will go forth. Praise God. We have such a tremendous ministry that God has given us. And then let's go on to look at the sixth aspect, that is their accompaniments, the things that were with them. And it describes in verses 15 through 21, "And when the living creatures went, the wheels went with them." There was another part of their appearance, and that was the rings of the wheel. They were so high that they were dreadful, and they were full of eyes. And the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And this, of course, is symbolic of the divine providence of God in relation to his redeemed people. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And that term, full of eyes, it refers not only to God's providence, but his perfect knowledge of all his works and his absolute wisdom in all of his doings. The wheels were mysterious. They were, quote, dreadful, inspiring awe. Unerring, they were full of eyes and in perfect accord with the living creatures. The same spirit was in them. And what a comfort this is to the church of the living God. So the wheels and the living creatures are seen as one, animated by one spirit and moved by one impulse. And then finally, let's look at their translation or their movement, if you will. Verse 19 says, the living ones were lifted up from the earth. Beloved, we are already seated in heavenly places. The mention of the wheels and the living creatures being lifted simultaneously shows that God's purposes through the Spirit of God are being carried out as He wills in this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And again, this expresses the perfect unity of the Spirit within the body of Christ. And, you know, there's another thought of way of looking at this. When the living creatures are lifted up, the wheels are lifted up. Doesn't that remind you of the rapture? This is a sobering and solemn thought for an ungodly, Christ-rejecting world. We know that the church shall be lifted up from the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. So the wheels of Almighty grace cease to move in the world. The flaming fire of retribution and judgment will be kindled. And 1 Thessalonians 1:7-10, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the Lord, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Praise God, in that day. Hallelujah. And that's because we believe the testimony that the apostles bequeathed to us in the Word of God. Praise God. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.